You know, those who work in the audio video industry oftentimes are called upon to go and to set up various portable sound equipment at on-site locations and to set up their amps and their speakers and their mixers and all of that, and they want to get there ahead of time to get all the microphones and the speakers set up, and they want to get there in time in order to do a sound check. They want to make sure that all of their equipment is working the way that it was designed to work. So they'll get it all set up, and then they'll start going through some various sound check things to check the volume levels, to check the sound, to make sure everybody can hear the way it needs to be heard. And then if it's not just right, they're going to come along and make some adjustments to that so that when it's time to use that equipment, it is spot on exactly the way it's intended and needed to be used. Tonight, I want us to do a sound check. It's been over 2 years since we've had one of these lessons. I can't believe it's been that long. But tonight, I want us to do a sound check. And I'm not going to stand up here and say, check 1, 2, 3, and start calling out various things that AV guys would do to check microphones and speakers. But the Bible says that when we sing to God, we are to sing and to make melody in our heart. It's one thing to be concerned about how it sounds in our ears, but that's not how God hears us. He's not hearing what's coming first from our vocal cords. He's hearing what's coming first from our hearts. And so before those words ever come out of our mouth, they've got to come from our hearts first. So tonight I want us to do a sound check, to check our hearts and to see, are we truly singing and making melody in our heart? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 says that we're to sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding. That's the same thing as saying we're to sing with our heart. It's just using the word understanding there to say that when we sing, we need to think about what we're singing. There needs to be an understanding about the words that are coming out of our mouth, that we first need to mean them when they come from our heart. So tonight I want us to do a sound check. Back in 1862, there was a little girl born named Adelaide Pollard. Well, her name was Sarah Pollard when she was born, but she grew up and didn't like the name Sarah, and so she changed her name to Adelaide. So she was known as Adelaide Pollard, born in 1862. She grew up in Iowa and then moved to Chicago, where she became a teacher in a girls' school. But as she was working at this girls' school in Chicago, Adelaide wanted to be a missionary. And of all the places in the world, she wanted to be a missionary in Africa. And so she started trying to make plans to go and be a missionary in Africa, and she started to try to raise funds for that, but she was not very successful in raising funds. And finally she determined, there's no way in the world I'm ever going to get to go to Africa and ever get to do mission work. And so she became discouraged. She was very disappointed. Here was her life goal. Here was a dream that she had to do something, and it wasn't going to happen. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been disappointed? You ever been discouraged? You ever had something out before you, and all of a sudden it just looks like it's not going to work out the way you thought it would? You ever have some life plan, some life goal, and then things just, they fall apart, and you sit there and you think, what's going on? Why me? Why can't things seem to work out in my life the way that I want them to work out? And you just become disappointed and discouraged. Adelaide was at that point. So in 1902, she determined, not going to get to go to Africa. She went to a ladies' prayer night. She attended a prayer session where there were some other ladies there, and she heard one elderly lady pray this. I want you to listen to these words that an elderly lady prayed in 1902 in a prayer meeting that Adelaide Pollard attended. This elderly woman said in her prayer, "But it's all right, Lord. It doesn't matter what you bring into our lives. Just have your own way with us." Adelaide Pollard went home that night. And when she went home, she started thinking about those words that an elderly lady had prayed. "Just have your way with us." And before she went to bed that night, She sat down and wrote the four stanzas that we have in our song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." This was something that was dear to her heart, something that she thought would be her life dream that didn't happen, but she learned from an elderly lady to say to God, "Have your own way." Tonight, I want you to get your songbook out and I want you to get your Bible out. We're going to use both of them tonight. I want you to turn in your songbook to number 197, which is Have Thine Own Way, written in 1902 by a lady named Adelaide Pollard. And then I want you to get your Bible out because I want us to not study this song just to study this song, but I want us to allow this song to be kind of the basis of our Bible lesson tonight. And so I want you to use your Bible tonight to follow along with where we will be. And we're going to spend, we'll spend time in a lot of various passages. We'll spend some time in the Psalms and in various places. But Adelaide spent that night meditating on Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah chapter 18. And that's what she kind of based this song on and based that the song on that elderly lady and her prayer. But this song has four stanzas to it. I hope you see that in 197. And so I think in these four stanzas, there are four distinct thoughts that she was trying to drive home. And if we're going to sing this song, it's not that we have to see it the way that I see it, but if we're going to sing this song from our heart, I want us to think about the words to each of these stanzas, to meditate on each of these words. Before they ever come out of our mouth, they need to come out of our heart. Do we truly mean it when we say to God, "Have thine own way"? In the first verse of this song, I think the point that is trying to be made here is to say to God, "Have thine own way, Lord. Mold me." Look at the first verse. Here's a song that says, "God, mold me." You think about the word mold, and that can have a couple different meanings, right? Some of you might be living in a house, or some of you might be working at a place that's got mold in it. That's not the kind of mold that we're talking about tonight. We're not telling God to make us into mold. That's a different form of the word. Here's a word that's being used as a verb. Mold me. What's a mold? Why is it that when you walk into some sort of potluck meal, that you can spot a Bundt cake from across the room? Why is that? There's just a certain appearance that those things have, right? They look different than a pineapple upside down cake, don't they? Because they're from a different mold. Did you have those things growing up, or maybe still have them, that you would make your own popsicles in the freezer? I mean, you didn't just take the Kool-Aid and just pour it in the freezer. You just turn it upside down in the freezer and say, "Hey, I'm going to have some popsicles in a little while." What'd you do? You had to take that Kool-Aid and pour it into a mold. And then you'd come back. Well, I came back about 20 minutes later wanting a popsicle. Well, you're not going to have it after 20 minutes. But you come back later and you got a popsicle that looks exactly like the mold that you poured it into. When we sing to God, we need to say, "Lord, mold me. Pour me into your mold, because God, I want to fit in your mold." I want you to think about that. That's what this song is saying. God, I don't want to fit into my mold. I want to fit into your mold. Change the word mold to the word will. I want to fit in your will. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? "Not my will, but your will be done." Luke 22 and verse 42. And so it needs to be our desire to learn what the will of God is. Ephesians 5 verse 17. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is so that we can say to God, "Lord, I want to fit inside your will." And so look at this song. As this verse says, "Mold me and make me after thy will." We do a pretty good job of molding ourselves after our own will. We can make ourselves look pretty good. We might even mold ourselves after the will of the world. But our greatest desire ought to be, "Lord, mold me into your will. Mold me after your will. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that as a mold. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not give in, do not give any place for the flesh. There's two different molds. There's the mold of Christ and there's the mold of our flesh. Which one are we allowing ourselves to be poured into? Romans 13 verse 14 says, put on this mold of Christ. Mold me and make me after your will. The interesting thing is, that's exactly what Jesus did when he was on this earth. In John 6 and verse 30, Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus sang this song, mold me and make me after thy will. Jesus himself said, it's not about my will, it's about the will of the Father. Can we truly sing this song that says to God, mold me, make me after thy will? Can we truly sing this song that says, God, I yield to you. God, I am waiting on you. Let me get my remote to work. God, I am submitting to you. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Guess what the world has done? The world has reversed that. And the world has said to God, if there is a God, thou art the clay, and I am the potter. And you will be the God that I want you to be. You will fit into the mold that I want you to fit into. You will allow me to do the things that I want to do. Folks, that's backwards. And so here's Adelaide Pollard, who's meditating on Jeremiah chapter 18. And Jeremiah chapter 18 is a passage sometimes we don't understand entirely, but it's a passage where the Lord is saying to Israel, I am the potter. God's saying, I am the potter, you are the clay, but he's not happy with what they are, that he's not happy with the form that Israel has taken. And so he is saying to Israel, I am going to break the form that you are in now so that I can remake you into a different form. I wonder tonight if there's some of us who have taken on a form, have taken on a mold that is not pleasing to God, that we need to say to God, God, I want you to break the mold that I'm in now so that you can remake me after your will. In Isaiah chapter 64 verse 8 is another time in the Old Testament where we have this phraseology, and it's interesting. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Can we say that to God? Not that I am a stiff, that I am a hardened piece of clay, and God, you've got your work cut out for you. But to soften my heart, to soften my heart in the hands of God, and to be a moldable piece of clay in the hand of God, can we tonight say, God, mold me and make me after thy will. While, what am I doing? While, God, you're the potter, what am I doing? While I'm waiting. While I am yielded. While I am still. That's a challenge. This isn't just some verse of a song that we can sing as, boy, that's a piece of cake. This isn't a piece of cake. This is hard. This is something that requires us to submit ourselves into the hands of God and to say unto God, it's not my will that I want to be done, but your will. Verse 1, Lord, mold me. Have your way with me and mold me. Verse 2, I think there's a change of tune here. And in verse 2, I think the song is saying, Lord, don't just mold me. Lord, forgive me. If God's going to have His way with us, do we need Him to forgive us? Look in verse 2 at the song and look at what it says, where it says, search me and try me, master today, whiter than the snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence. Do you want to be in the presence of God? In order to be forgiven, we need to long to be in the presence of God. And in Psalm 27, I think it's the last verse of the psalm. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That fits with the previous point. Let me back up into verse 4 of this psalm. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Y'all remember the movie City Slickers? One thing. Remember that? The guy said, there's one thing, and then he died, and he didn't tell Billy Crystal what the one thing was. But here's David saying, one thing I have desired. If you could boil your one thing down into what you've desired of the Lord, what would it be? What does David say? One thing I have desired of the Lord. Here's what I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. What one thing do you want more than anything else? He's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about being right now in the presence of God. And he says, that's what I want more than anything. That's why the same man in Psalm 122 said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David wasn't talking about some building and that being the limitation. He said, I want to be in the presence of God. Do you? And in order to be in the presence of God, do we need to be forgiven? You know, there's two verses on the screen. Psalm 27 and verse 4 that says, the one thing I want is to be in the presence of God. But the opposite of that is Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that says, our sins separate us from God. What does that mean? My sins will not allow me to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the presence of God, but my sins separate me and they don't allow me in the presence of God. So what do I need more than anything? I need my sins forgiven, so that I can dwell in the presence of God. So look at verse 2 of this song where he says, search me and try me, Master, today. Would you be willing to say that to God? Would you be willing to say to God, God, search me? I don't know many people that'd be willing to say that to anybody else. Search me? No, this is none of your business. This is my private life. You don't have any business. Would you say to God tonight, search me? Would you say to God tonight, try me? That's exactly what David said in Psalm 139. Great psalm, and you know parts of this. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and where can I go from the Lord, from His presence? There's a lot of that part, a lot of that psalm you will know, but the last two verses of Psalm 139 say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see, go ahead, God, look. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you be willing to say that to God tonight? God, I want to be in your presence. So God, I need you to look. I need you to look. I need you to search me. God, I need you to find my weaknesses. I need you to find where I have failed. I need you to find within me those places where I'm not right. God, I don't want to hide them from you anymore. There's nothing secret. We can't keep any secrets from God. God, I don't want to hide them from you anymore. God, I want to be right in your sight. We don't have time, and we're not going to take time tonight to read all of Psalm 51. But you might flip over there. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 51. Because not only did Adelaide Pollard, not only did she have Psalm 139 in mind, search me and try me, she's got that in verse 2. That comes right out of Psalm 139. But she's also got, I think, parts of Psalm 51, at least in mind. David cries out to God in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me, God, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. Does this sound familiar? Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Look down at verse 14. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I'd give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God, what does God want? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. God, have your own way with me. Have your own way with me and look within me. Search me and try me. And God, when you find areas where I've done wrong, God, please forgive me. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. But the only way this can happen is for us to say to God, I humbly bow in your presence. Are you ready to say that? Are you willing to say that tonight? I mean, have thine own way. How many times have you sung this song in your life? How many times have you sung this song in your life? Some of you, hundreds of times you've sung this song. But have you meant it every time? Have your own way, God. Go ahead, God, look inside. Search me. Try me. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Because right now in your presence, God, I am humbly bowing. That tax collector in Luke 18, was he like the Pharisee? He wasn't anything like the Pharisee. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13 that he stood afar off. He didn't even feel like he was worthy to come into the presence of God. He stood afar off. And he would not even lift his eyes up into heaven. I'm not even worthy of that. And did he pray some long-winded prayer about how wonderful and great he was and how thankful God should be to have him? No. Remember his prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's he saying? Have thine own way, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Verse 1, Lord, have your own way, mold me. Verse 2, Lord, have your own way, forgive me. Verse 3, I think, again, there's a change, at least slightly, where she's saying, Lord, have your own way, help me. How many times have you ever said to God, help me? God, I need your help. Every year, at least I think every year, in leadership training camp, we talk to those who are there, and I tell them that every time I get up to preach, I'm praying while I'm in the pew. I'm praying as I walk up these steps. I'm praying as I step up to the pulpit, Lord, help me. Lord, please help me. It's usually four words, Lord, please help me. But it's not just in that. It's every day of life when you're facing decisions. It's every day of life when trials and tribulations come. It's every day of life when you're faced with uncertainties. Lord, please help me. And I believe that's the intent of this third verse of this song, where we are saying to God, Lord, and each of these, I hope you'll see as we go through these, Lord, I want to be within your will. Lord, I want to be in your presence. I think what she's saying in this third verse of this song is, Lord, I pray for thy power. Look, turn your Bible to Psalm 62. I want you to see this. And it's not the only time in the Psalms, but I'll show you this one, and then you can find some other time on your own. But turn to Psalm 62. As she puts in this song, you look at it in the third stanza, power, all power. Not just power, but she says, power, all power, surely is thine. Where does she get that idea? Look in Psalm 62. And obviously you know this is not the only place, but look at the last two verses of Psalm 62. God has spoken once, comma, twice I have heard this. What's he saying? If God has said it once, he said it 100 times. You ever said that to somebody? If God has said this once, if this is true of God once, it's true 1,000 times. What? God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. What power? Power. What power? All power. Where'd she get this idea? Power, all power, surely is thine. I don't know if she had this verse in mind, but that's what Psalm 62, that's what David is saying. That power belongs to God. But I want you to see verse 12. Tie verse 12 in with verse 11. Power belongs to God, but notice what happens with David in verse 12. Also, verse 12, to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. Sometime read through the book of Psalms. Find how many times Psalms couples power with mercy. We think of the power of God and we think, let there be light. And that's the power of God. We think the power of God and we think about Him creating the seas and the mountains and all of creation. We think about the power of God and we think about the sun, the moon, and the stars. Sure, that shows the power. But David's not focusing in on that element of God's power alone. He says we see God's power in His mercy and what He does for us. Lord, I pray for your power. Lord, I need your power in my life. Now notice what she does with that in this song, and notice how it's tied in with Scripture. If you're still in Psalm 62, back up to Psalm 46 and see that a lot of what is found in this third verse of this song is based upon Scripture, where if I'm praying for the power of God, what do I want the power of God to do? What does she say in the song? Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine. I don't think she's talking about physical ailments. I don't believe that's the focus of this. I believe the focus of this verse, the beginning of her third verse, wounded and weary. Help me, I pray. I don't think she's talking about some physical wound. I think she's talking about the wounds of life. Remember that she's coming from a background where she's disappointed. She's discouraged. She's wounded and weary spiritually. You ever been there? If you've been there, look in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, in other words, the worst things in the world could happen, but guess what? We will not fear. Why? Drop down to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord, don't forget this, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We need to be willing to turn to God and to say to God, I need your help. God, I am wounded. I'm spiritually wounded. I'm spiritually weary. God, would you help me? I'm praying to you tonight, God, that I need your help. And I'm telling you tonight, God, that I trust you. It's easy to trust God when things are going well. When everything's looking fine, boy, we can trust God all the way. But when things start getting difficult. Jordan Beasley's in the hospital again for the second time within a month. Had surgery yesterday or the day before. Guess what he said today? I trust God. He's going to take care of it. Here's a man dealing with physical infirmities. Says, that's okay, I trust God. It's easy to trust God when things are going well. But when physical trauma comes, when spiritual trauma comes, when emotional trauma comes, when difficulties and trials of life come, oh, where's God? God, why are you letting this happen to me? Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Paul said to Timothy, I know whom I have believed. He's not saying, I can spell it for you. I know who I know God. It's G-O-D. I know God. I can spell it. He's not saying, I know Him intellectually. That's not what he's saying, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He's not saying, I've heard of God. He's not saying, I memorized a verse about God. He's not saying that he knows God intellectually. He's saying, I know God. I've got a relationship with God. I don't know Him just in my head. I know Him in my heart. And that's why he's able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep whatever I've committed unto him until that day. Have thine own way, Lord. I trust you. I need you. I beg you to help me. Do we mean that if we say that tonight? Verse 1, Lord, have your way with me. Mold me. Mold me into your will. Have your way with me. Verse 2, forgive me. Have your way with me. Verse 3, help me. And then verse 4, there's a challenge. Lord, use me. Don't just come along and help me. Don't just come along and forgive me. Lord, when you've done that, use me. Look at what she says. And this, as a child singing this song, the first part of this fourth verse was difficult to understand. Part of it's because there's a contraction. Hold or my being. Oh, what's this contraction? O'er. That's archaic, isn't it? I mean, what is this or my being? What are you, absolute sway? I know that on my van there's a sway bar up front because for 3 years it was knocking every time I turned. Is that the sway that I'm talking about here? I mean, what's the sway? You know, when we pulled those campers drove across country in my family, we'd pull those campers. Those campers sometimes sway behind the car, especially when a big old 18-wheeler would pass us. They start swaying. That's why there were sway bars connecting the what are we talking about sway here? As a kid, I didn't know what this meant. I've had to learn as an adult, what does this mean? Lord, use me. Hold over me absolute control. Oh, that's what that means? That's deep. That's hard. Look at what this is saying. It is saying to God, in verse 4, she's saying to God, not just I want to be within thy will, not just that I want to be in thy presence. I want to be in thy presence in verse 2, but I want you to see in verse 4 that it is, Lord, I want to be thy dwelling. It's interesting. I don't want to just be in thy dwelling. I don't want to just be in your presence. I want you to be in me. I want to be your dwelling. And that's what is happening at the end of this verse in verse 4. Fill with thy spirit, that Christ is living in me. If you're a child of God, the Bible says that you are the temple of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. You don't belong to yourself, you belong to God. And as his possession, he dwells within you. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Have you opened to him? I mean, if Jesus is just standing at the door and knocking and you open up, is he just going to say, "I just want to see if you were home, just checking, all right, see you later," and does he depart? No, that's not what he says in Revelation 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens to me," what do you need to do when you open the door to the Lord? You just need to see, oh, okay, that's who is knocking on the door. Okay, thanks, have a nice day. When someone opens the door of their life and opens the door of their heart, "He who hears my voice," he says, "and opens to me," he says, "I will come in. I'll dine with him." It's interesting how he says it. "I will dine with him, and he will dine with me." We'll dine together. We'll dwell together. Can you say to God tonight, "God, I don't want to just be in your presence. I want to have you dwelling in my life." That's what's happening here in verse 4. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Can you say to God tonight, "God, take me. God, live in me. God, don't just live in me. Use me. Hold over me absolute control. God, take my life. I don't belong to me. Take my life and use me." In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, it says not to put ourselves, not to submit ourselves, not to give ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness, but to give ourselves as instruments of righteousness. You are an instrument. And when I read that passage and it talks about the fact that we're no longer slaves of unrighteousness, we're no longer slaves of sin, but now we're slaves of righteousness, we are servants of the Most High God. We are His instruments. And as His instruments, we need to be used in whatever fashion He would want us to be used. Lord, use me. Don't just forgive me. Don't just help me when I need your help. Lord, use me. Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 20, whatever happens to me in life or in death, I'm going to make sure that Christ is magnified in my life. That's what a living sacrifice does. Romans 12 and verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice says to God, this life is not about me. I didn't create me. I didn't die for me. I didn't create heaven for me. This life isn't about me. It's about God. Take me and use me. And use me so that others can see Christ only and Christ always living in me. What does it mean, fill with thy Spirit till all shall see? We become the temple of the Holy Spirit when we're a faithful child of God. But you couple those last two verses on the bottom right of your slide there. There's a parallel between Ephesians 5:18 and Colossians 3:16 in these twin epistles, and it's a parallel section between these two chapters. One passage says, be filled with the Spirit. The other passage says, be filled with the Word of God. And the more we fill our lives with the Word of God, the more we fill ourselves with the Spirit of God, the more others can see Christ living in us. Have thine own way, Lord. Mold me into your mold, not mine. Lord, I want to be in your presence, which means I need you to forgive me so that I can be right with you. Lord, help me. I'm wounded and I'm weary and I'm beaten down. Help me. Lord, when you've done all of that, I'm not going to be useless. Use me. Take me as your instrument and allow me to be used in your presence. Before we close this lesson tonight, I want us to sing this song together. And Nate, I'm going to allow you to advance the slides. I don't want to try to keep up with the slides. But I want us to sing this song together. I was told as a child, and I don't remember who told me, may have been Dean Reynolds. I was told as a child, don't sing it if you don't mean it. We can get ourselves in trouble saying something to God we don't mean, right? Can you get yourself in trouble saying something to your parents you don't mean? Can you get yourself in trouble saying something to the IRS that you don't mean? Can you get yourself in trouble saying something to God you don't mean? If you don't mean, have thine own way, Lord, don't sing it. But if you do, let's have a sound check tonight. Not how we sound in our ears. Let's do a sound check tonight on our heart. Let's sing and make melody in our heart. Let's sing it with the understanding, and let's truly mean it as we sing it to the Lord tonight.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Why are you in a soul, Lord? Wash me
at your life tonight, are you truly being able to say to God, have your own way, Lord? Have you said it in the past? Are you ready to say it tonight? Have you given your life to Him? Being a Christian is not a game to play. It's not a song to sing. It's really a life that God intended for us to live. Have you said to God, I'm yours? The way that you do that according to the New Testament, the way that you do that is having faith in your heart, believing that Jesus is God's Son. That's why Jesus came, to die on the cross, to save us from our sins, to be buried in that tomb, and on the third day to be raised from the dead. And God says, if you want to submit yourself to Him, you've got to believe that with all of your heart. If you believe that tonight, you can make up your mind. Just as they were told to do in the New Testament, is the same thing we're told to do today. To change the way you're living. Change your mind and say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to turn my life around. And that doesn't mean you get everything right before you submit to the Lord. That doesn't mean you get everything right before you're baptized. But it means you make up your mind. That's the direction I want to go in. And if you're ready to make up your mind tonight, and maybe you've already done it, you said, I want to go in the right direction. I want to stop going in the wrong direction. I want to turn my life over to the Lord. Then this very night, you can do exactly what they did in the New Testament. Confess the faith that's in your heart and to be baptized for the remission of every one of your sins. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus can wash away every sin tonight and allow you to be used as a faithful instrument in the hand of God as one of His children. If you're not a faithful Christian tonight, we plead with you to come, even right now, as together we stand and sing.